from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you. I am live in front of Kauffman Stadium today. This is actually the first time that I believe we have ever played how many people are going to be at Kauffman Stadium tonight. While I also was at Kauffman Stadium, we're going to play that here coming up in about 15 minutes. I appreciate you listening and making us a part of your Monday. The reason you do not hear Rob today is Rob is tested positive for COVID. So we certainly hope that Rob gets back to 100%. We hope that Rob is all good. But right now it is just me, you, and Quentin back at the studio holding things down. Quentin, are you good? Have you sanitized everything? Did you wipe everything down? Are you feeling 100% today?
Well, you know, usually I wipe everything down when Drew gets out of the studio anyways. But, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
That is good to hear. All right, let's get things going here on 96.5 The Fan. Very happy to be here. I will be here for the next couple of days for the Royals and the Angels, a very important series for the Kansas City Royals. We'll talk about that in a bit, but first, we got to give you a chance to win a pizza.
That's right. It is time for pizza here on The Drive. Pizza Tasio, Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, has taken over Kansas City. Pizza Tasio lovingly uses 100% whole milk mozzarella, organic tomato sauce, locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who know and love pizza. Pizza Tasio has locations in Waldo, Belton, North Kansas City, OP, and Midtown. Pizza Tasio has a killer selection of craft and local beers and unique wines. Whether it's slices or whole pies, order now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends. I want you to tell them about the Switch, and I also want you to tell them that if they want some of the best pizza in Kansas City and they want to talk Royals baseball, then the best place to do that is with us right here on The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Let me give you an update on the standings. Maybe you had a very busy weekend. Maybe you went down to the lake. Maybe the kids had some baseball, some soccer, maybe football season is starting wherever you are. Let me update you on where the Royals are after this weekend. And did you know they really got a shot at doing this thing? There was a time that I completely disregarded the Royals and their opportunity to win the American League Central. That time is no longer. The Royals today sit 3 games behind the Cleveland Guardians for first place in the division. They are 1 game behind Minnesota for second place in the American League Central. And the second wild card spot, they have a 3.5-game lead right now on Boston for that final wild card spot. If you were someone that trusts Fangraphs, the Royals currently have a 74% chance of making the postseason. According to Fangraphs, it really feels like they are going to do it. It really feels like we are here. If they are going to make the postseason, in my opinion, it comes down to one individual. I don't have any questions about Cole Reagans and the kind of pitcher that he is going to be for this time down the stretch. I don't have any questions about Bobby Witt Jr., who at this point is almost a lock to finish top two in American League MVP. So let's go ahead and put those guys to the side. I do not have any questions about those individuals. If the Royals are going to do this thing, and I'm not just talking about them making the postseason, they have a legitimate chance of winning the American League Central. If you have 7 games against the team that is 3 games ahead of you down the stretch, you can absolutely overtake that team. If you play the Angels this week and they play the New York Yankees this week, we could be talking about that the Royals are a game back of Cleveland heading into Friday's series at home against the Philadelphia Phillies. They really have a realistic chance of doing this thing. It comes down to Seth Lugo. Seth Lugo, from opening day up until June 30th, he made 18 starts. He had a 2.17 ERA. He was masterful in the first half of the season. And then I don't know what happened. The second half of the season and after the 4th of July, they have gotten a completely different version of Seth Lugo than the one that they got in the first part of the season. If you just take his last 7 starts, so I'm talking about from July 6th until August 13th, so he has made 7 starts during that period, Seth Lugo has a 5.36 ERA. So we went from him having a 2.17 ERA for the first 17 starts of the season to over his last 43 2/3 inning. He has given up 42 hits, 30 runs, 26 of them have been earned. He has a 5.36 ERA. I know what the Royals are going to get from Cole Reagans down the stretch. I feel really, really confident in what they're going to get from Bobby Witt Jr. down the stretch. I don't know if anyone can tell you what they are going to get from Seth Lugo from now until the end of the season. This is their last, I would say, gimme series the rest of the way. Now, we'll see what happens at the very end of the season. Maybe Pittsburgh is out of it, and they've completely fallen apart. Maybe the Giants have fallen out of it. But the Royals, to me, season really gets going, at least in regards to their opportunity to win the division. That starts Friday against the Philadelphia Phillies. This Angels team is bad, and we're going to talk more about the Angels over the course of the next 4 hours or so. The Angels might honestly be the most disappointing team in American sports. For you to have an almost $200 million payroll, for you to have the talent that have come through that organization over the course of the last 15 years, they have less than nothing to show for it. The Royals should win this series against the Los Angeles Angels. The Guardians have a series against the New York Yankees, who are currently the best team in American League in the American League. The Royals could be sitting 1 game back, 1.5 games back, when they start their series against the Philadelphia Phillies. And Vern has called it the Riptide. They have a 20-game stretch against teams that are firmly in the playoff picture. The Royals did exactly what they were supposed to do. We can have the conversation about the Royals aside from the White Sox, but you know what the Royals have shown you they can do? They can beat up on struggling teams. And Cincinnati has been a team that is struggling this year, playing a little bit below average. Sure, they're in it, but almost everybody is in it in the National League. This team did exactly what they were supposed to do. They didn't just win the series against Cincinnati. They didn't just sweep the series against Cincinnati. They dominated Cincinnati from start to finish. So again, the Royals have a realistic chance of doing this thing. It is 38 games to go. Every pitch matter, every decision matter, every batter, every start. 38 games to go. We are talking about almost less than a month of games left to go in a season, and they sit 3 games back of Cleveland. A major reason of how the Royals were able to dominate the Cincinnati Reds this weekend was Dairon Blanco. What got into him this weekend? It was like the Royals for a weekend. It was like they got John Dowd from MVP Baseball 2005. He was 5 of 8, hit 3 home runs, hit 1 grand slam, 8 RBIs, 4 runs, stole a base. He had 14 total bases. They got the American League Player of the Week. Dairon Blanco, go ahead and give him the award. I don't even know who else would be in consideration for the award. It ain't Bobby Witt Jr. It ain't Aaron Judge. Give it to Dairon Blanco for what we just saw him do this weekend in Cincinnati. This is my question. This is what I would appeal if I'm the Kansas City Royals. Why can't every weekend be Players Weekend? You know what I saw this week? Something I haven't seen in quite some time. Baseball players allowed to show personality. Bobby Witt Jr. had the Pablo Sanchez bat. Dairon Blanco had the Crayola crayon bats. It was fun. It was enjoyable. I got to see the personalities of the players. We were sharing it and talking about it. The timeline was talking about baseball while football was going on. I don't know why we don't do this Players Weekend thing all the time. You can get whatever bat you want to wear. You could wear whatever cleats you want to wear. As long as you're not corking the bat a la Sammy Sosa in 2002, I don't know why Major League Baseball would care what kind of bat that you have out there. I thought it was fun this weekend. I want more of it. More personality, more fun. That should be what baseball is trying to sell to me and you. Coming up in a bit, we will play how many people are going to be at Kauffman Stadium tonight, but you guys know the rules. If we start talking about Royals at 2 o'clock, it can only mean one thing. Quentin, hit me.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
That's right. It's time for your random Royals lineup. I've never done one of these before.
Let's do it. I'm so excited about it.
All right. You told me to pick a random day, so I picked a day that was definitely completely random and has absolutely no meaning to me. We're going to go back to June 29th, 1999.
Okay, let's do it. I mean, normally we pick a random day like, you know, it's August 19th of a random year. But you know what? I'm here for this, too. Nope. We can do it a little bit different. You don't got to follow the rules. We're going to the same way it was Players Weekend, and they can have whatever bat they want. You do the random lineup how you want to do it.
Starting off at center field, Carlos Beltran.
Carlos Beltran. I'm a big Carlos Beltran guy.
Starting third base, batting second, Joe Randa.
Oh, this might be this is my kind of Royals era right now.
Batting third,
I love this Royals team.
We got Johnny Damon playing left field.
How did this team not – how are they not better? Listen to the names you've just thrown out there. Beltran, Randa. Oh, my goodness. What a team.
Hitting cleanup, Mike Sweeney.
This team absolutely should have won 92 games.
He was the designated hitter. Batting
of course he
fifth,
was. Probably had 3 hits that day.
Batting fifth, playing right field, we had Jeremiah Dye.
Here's it's Jermaine, but it's okay. No worries.
Playing first base, we've got Jeremy Giambi.
Not Jason, Jeremy.
We got batting seventh, playing catcher, someone I've definitely heard of, Chad Cuthier.
I've never heard of Chad Cuthier a day in my life. No clue who that man is. Salute to him, though. Is he a Royals Hall of Famer?
I'm going to probably say no, but
okay.
You never
right,
know.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. Hopefully he's having a great day.
Batting eighth and playing second base, Carlos Fables. And cleaning up at batting number nine, playing shortstop, Ray Sanchez. Your pitcher that day was Kevin Apier, and the Royals did beat the White Sox with the final score of 7-4.
What was their record at this point?
They were a casual 10 games below 500.
Oh, my God, casual. Casual. 10 games under 500. No, you know what? I love that era of Royals baseball. They should bring it back, man. That was a fun time in Kansas City baseball history. All right, we need 4 callers to 913-567. Oh, 913-586-7965. I got to get used to the new number, too. 913-586-7965. We are going to play. How many people will be at Kauffman Stadium tonight? It is the fan day out at the K. I will be here. All your favorite people from the station are going to be here. Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be here. Seth Lugo is going to be here. Will you be here? We will play coming up. You guys know the rules at this point. 913-586-7965. We are going to play. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight? That's coming up next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. Welcome back into the Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you. I'm live at Kauffman Stadium today, getting you ready for Royals and Angels. Every day that the Royals have a home day around 2:15, 2:20, we play a very simple game. The game is called, how many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight? We try to guess the attendance for tonight's Royals game. And do we have a good one today? The Royals, who are currently three games back of the division lead with the Cleveland Guardians, they play one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. It is a $10 price chop Monday. So if you want to come out, $10 tickets. It's the fan day at the K. Bob Fesco is running in the Hot Dog Derby. Cody is running in the Hot Dog Derby. I believe Nate Taylor is also running in the Hot Dog Derby. Come on out to Kauffman Stadium. We play a Price is Right style, closest to the number without going over. You win a pizza. All you have to do is tell us how many people are coming to Kauffman Stadium tonight. Let's go to the phone lines. Who do we have first up? We got Scott in the OP. Scott, how many people you got today?
17,007.
17,007. All right, Scott, I appreciate you. We got you down here. All right, let's keep things moving here on the drive. Martin, I'll ask you the same question. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
42,429.
All right, I got you down here. Martin, appreciate you. Let's keep things moving here. We got Charles. Charles, I'll ask you the same question. How many people are coming out to the game tonight?
I must say 18,976.
All right, 19,000 or 18,000?
18,976.
All right, got you down. 18,976. Appreciate you, Charles. Thanks a lot for listening to us on 96.5 The Fan. All right, we got one more person here. We got Don. He is in Olathe. Don, I appreciate you. I only have one question to ask you. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
24,024.
All right, Don, I appreciate you. It is all locked in today. Quentin has your information. If you win, we'll email you. If not, you know what? You got to try again another day. Quentin, before we move on from this, I'll ask you the same question. What's the attendance?
Let's go big or go home, Ryan. Let's just say 28.
You got 28 on a Monday?
Let's go big or go home.
28 on a Monday? Wow, they haven't had a 28 on Monday since Hosmer was in town. Hosmer was single with no kids the last time they got 28 on a Monday. 28's a big number. I think they're going to have a big weekend. I think tomorrow also is going to do well. I do think the Dollar Hot Dogs is a big play. I'm going to go a little less than 20 today. Put me down for 19.5 today out at Kauffman Stadium. Put me down for 19.5, Quentin, out at Kauffman Stadium today. 28 is a massive, massive number. Massive number for August, especially when a lot of kids are going back to school. I am going to be very, very curious what the attendance looks like, as they only have three homestands left now and the rest of the season. They have three left. This week, they have the three games against the Angels. They also have the Phillies on the back end. They've got Cleveland for an important series. Minnesota still comes to Kansas City. So they still have some big-time series left this season. But it is school time for the kiddos. You're on Facebook. You're on the gram. You're seeing a lot of back-to-school picks for a lot of people. So I will be very interested in seeing what the attendance is going to be like for the Royals down the stretches. These games could not be more important for regular season games, but also the season is changing. Quentin, if you can you pull up the audio from the Patrick Mahomes behind-the-back catch? Because before I ask you to play it, it has been a long time since you and I mean, you, the listener, me, we have been on different pages about things. Now, I want to specify that I think the behind-the-back pass is cool. Of course it's cool. But my goodness, you guys have hyped the hell out of this thing. Quinn, hit the audio for me. All right, we'll get to the audio here in a bit. Here's the thing. Oh, there it goes.
Mahomes keeps it, goes behind the back. Kelsey's got it for the first down. How do you like that?
Well, they talked about it in practice this week, and Mahomes even talked about the fact that he said Andy wants him to do it in a game. Well, guess what? Here it is.
Okay. Can we have this conversation? I just don't care. I'm not saying that it's not cool. It absolutely is cool. When you see it, it's a very fun highlight. It's like a, oh, okay, all right, I see you, Patrick. All right, I see you getting it. And then Patrick is telling the story how it's Travis's fault, and then Travis is telling the story that it's Patrick's fault, and they're going back and forth, and I'm just thinking this whole time, it's preseason football. I just can't get that excited about it. I really just can't get that excited about it. If Pat does this week one against the Ravens, I'll be standing right there with you. The fact that you got the gall to do this in an actual game, hey, I'm with you. They've been teasing us with this behind-the-back pass for the last couple of years. If Travis Kelce drops it, it's an incomplete pass. There's no way you can fumble on the play. I'm thinking if you were ever going to try something like this to kind of get the fans excited a little bit, it is a preseason game. We knew that Mahomes wasn't going to play a lot. I want to make sure that I give you your price of admission. I want to make sure that you come to the preseason game and feel like you got to see something exciting. Why don't we just give you the little behind the back pass? They did that. It was exciting. It's a nice clip. It adds to the lore of Patrick Mahomes. This is a preseason game. This is like me getting really excited about seeing Steph Curry shoot it from half court in a preseason basketball game. Quinn, does this make me a hater that I feel this way about this play? I'm not saying that it's not cool. I'm not saying that it's not a high, not a cool highlight. The way I saw people reacting to it over the weekend, when I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is a preseason football game. It's just hard at this point to get me excited about diet football, boneless football. No, I want the bone in. We're not that far away from it. We got real college football coming up this weekend. We're just a couple of days away from real actual NFL. This just goes to show you that you guys have been itching and fiending for the NFL so long that you're getting hype off Patrick Mahomes' preseason plays.
I think you're kind of a hater because you have this opinion, but I also do understand the sentiment behind it, that it is preseason and we got to keep that in mind. But also, it's really cool. Like, you know, they've been talking about doing this for years, and I know Patrick Mahomes said in his press conference that, oh, it, you know, that wasn't the play. We didn't draw it up like that. But it's also cool. Like, you got to be able to say that, you know, it was great as a Chiefs fan to watch them do something they've been talking about doing for years at this point.
The thing that excited me most about the Chiefs preseason, and we'll continue to get to it here over the course of the show, the thing that excites me the most was the first 7-on-7 drill that they had in training camp, in which they threw a big down-the-field pass to Xavier Worthy. And the ball goes 40, 50 yards in the air. Worthy tracks it, comes down with it, scores a touchdown, and you can feel a different kind of energy around the Chiefs offense. The touchdown that he had on Saturday, they didn't have a single person on their roster who was capable of making that play last year, who had the explosiveness, the route running. And we're talking about a guy who has yet to step on an NFL field in a game that really, really matters. The biggest takeaway from the game, and what should be the lasting impression from the game, is not the behind-the-back Patrick Mahomes play. It should be the fact that the Chiefs spent a big-time resource on a wide receiver, and man, it looks like it's going to work. Now, in one breath, I'm telling you, hey, it's a preseason game. You can't get too excited. So I understand the hypocrisy in my stance. But, man, if you remember how bad it was last year at wide receiver, and to see that play, to see that route from Xavier Worthy, it's got to excite you about what their offense can potentially be this season. Last year, the Kansas City Chiefs were 17th in points scored last year. You would have never guessed that a team that has Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Travis Kelce would have 16 teams in the NFL scored more than they did. They were below average in points scored last season. What I'm most excited about, what I continue to be thrilled about heading into the season, is I believe the Chiefs are going to have a top 10 offense this season, and I also believe that they're going to have a top 10 defense. I mean, if you got both of those things, we're talking about a team that just continues to have a chance to do something really special. And beyond something just really special, a team that has a chance to do something that no other team in the history of the NFL has ever done. Think about the great franchises that we've seen in the NFL over its 100-year period. I'm talking about the Steelers and the Niners and the Cowboys and the Patriots and whatever team that you can name. How excited I am about their offense and the continuance of their defense should just get you so excited for a team that is the clear favorite to win another championship. Please don't derail this team. You expect them to play deep once again into January, and they're probably one of the six teams that realistically have a chance of winning this thing this year. Sure, there's going to be a team that emerges this season and is a little bit better than people think. But I think if we sat here and we really, hey, who are the six teams that really have a chance to do this thing? Kansas City is at the top of this list, and I don't need to see any more from their starters. I don't need to see any more from their left tackle. I don't need to see any more from their quarterback. I don't want another starter in the game. And I know Andy said earlier today that he's going to start to sit the starters. The lasting impression that I'm going to have from that game is not the behind-the-back pass. It's Xavier Worthy. And if he works out and could be the dynamic down-the-field big playmaker that I think this offense could really use, it could mean really, really special things for this offense. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to talk about Chiefs training camp and preseason football. We'll bounce back and forth between the Royals as they get going in their series against the Angels and also the Kansas City Chiefs. There are two players that have impressed me the most in preseason, and it's not Connor Steele. I'll tell you who it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Rob is out today. Rob has tested positive for COVID. Rob will be back hopefully tomorrow. Maybe he's back on Wednesday. Who knows? We certainly hope that Rob gets back to 100%. If you guys want to text in, you can. I'm still using the old text line, so hopefully you still have that number saved. 913-586-7610. Still getting things switched over. Eventually we'll have a new number, but right now you can use the old one, 913-586-7610. So today the Chiefs had a handful of guys who missed practice. Hollywood Brown obviously didn't practice today. Chris Jones didn't practice. B.J. Thompson, Charles Aminahou. Some of these guys we already knew weren't going to practice, also weren't going to participate in the game. Those guys are going to start the season on the PUP list. Hollywood Brown might start the season on the PUP list. Charles Aminahou certainly is. Chris Jones just has a case of, I don't want to play in the preseason and training camp. I wouldn't be worried about Chris Jones in any capacity. I firmly expect that he is going to play in the first regular season game. Andy Reid spoke earlier today and said, quote, that Chris Jones is feeling much better. So I know you hear that. I know you see it. Hey, is Chris Jones hurt? He didn't play in the preseason game. What's going on? I would not be worried about it. He is going to be perfectly fine. Everything is okay. Clyde Edwards-Helaire also didn't play on Saturday. Brian Cook, the safety, Juwan Taylor, Wanye Morris. Can we go ahead and end the conversation about who the starting left tackle is for the Kansas City Chiefs? Now, I think that this competition has been over for quite some time, but, I mean, it is 100% over now at this point, right? Kingsley Suamataia is going to be the starting left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. He has been getting all the reps with the one. Wanye Morris has done nothing to take the job away from him, and he's also banged up right now and not playing in the preseason game. So I think we can say that the Chiefs are going to have a rookie left tackle. Kingsley Suamataia is going to start for this team at left tackle. So let's just go ahead and end that. We have no more questions about what that's going to look like for this team. Let me give you a couple of names, a couple of players that I thought really, really shined on Saturday. And two players that heading into this season, I'm really excited about. And I think continue to make the case that this defense could once again be the best defense in the NFL. I really like Jaden Hicks. You know how the Steelers have a type at linebacker? You know how the Ravens have a type at linebacker? That when they draft a guy like Patrick Queen or Roquan Smith, you just know that it's going to work. The Chiefs clearly have a type they are looking for in the secondary. And you knew when they drafted Jaden Hicks that it was just going to fit. You look at his versatility. You look at the physicality that I think he brings for this team. I think he is exactly the kind of corner and secondary player that they like. A guy that can play a little bit of corner, who can be physical. A guy who can play rover back in the back half of the secondary, can play a little free safety, can play a little strong safety, can come off the edge and blitz if you need to. I really like Jaden Hicks. I understand the excitement about Xavier Worthy, the number one pick out of Texas, but if you're asking me right now, who do I think has a chance to make the biggest impact for this team in their rookie year? I don't think that Jaden Hicks is a bad answer about what he can do with this team. And then you look at Shamari Connor. Those two guys, it's understandable why the Chiefs make some of the decisions that they make. Why you move on from a Charvarius Ward, why you trade L'Jarius Sneed, because you have just had the ability to turn over that secondary and turn over the back half of that room without spending an exorbitant amount of resources. You've been able to do that for 5 years. It looks like you've done it again. I think you knew when they drafted Shamari Connor out of Virginia Tech that he was the kind of player that they're looking for. And then you look at Jaden Hicks as another guy that just, he fits a lot of things that the Chiefs like to do in the back half of that secondary. So, Quentin, I'll throw it to you. I don't know if you have a guy that makes sense for you, if there's a player that really impressed you over the course of the preseason, but I'm just looking at those two guys and the versatility. I think that's one thing about L'Jarius Sneed that we need to factor in was his versatility. And with him being able to do so many things, I think it really freed up Trent McDuffie to also have that freedom where he could play the second best receiver. He could blitz because you felt confidence on the back half
and his ability to cover. I think that Jaden Hicks and Shamari Connor could provide a very, very similar thing, and the Chiefs love having interchangeable, whether it's offensive line and swing tackles. I think they also look for a certain kind of half of secondary guy and guy who can help them in the safety or corner spot. Those are two guys that have really impressed me over the course of camp, and I really like what I've seen so far in the preseason.
I think I agree with you, especially on the sentiment that we have seen young guys, safeties, corners, hybrid guys come in and be successful with Kansas City over the last few years. And that goes to credit with not only the drafting, but the development of those players among the Chiefs defense. I am still pretty high on Jared Wiley. I think that he can help take the pressure off of Travis Kelce. I'm not in the camp that, you know, he's going to be the next Travis Kelce. I think that's ridiculous, that sort of statement. But I do like what I've seen. I haven't seen a Jared Wiley play come off of the field and I'm like, man, that was bad or anything like that. And I think everything you've seen has just been solid. And that's what you're looking for, especially for a fourth round guy. You're not out there expecting him to do, you know, elite level kinds of plays even in the preseason, but when you watch Jared Wiley on the field, I just think, like, that is a good tight end, a good football player.
So let me give you guys some stats, and we'll get back to the Royals here coming up in a bit. Let me give you some numbers. These numbers are according to the NFL. Last year, the kickoff return rate in the first two games of the preseason was 22%. 22% of kickoffs in the preseason last year got returned. So far through the first two preseason games, we are at 78%. So the rules are doing exactly what the NFL wanted to have happen. Sure, some of them are going to be kickbacks. Some teams are just going to kick it out of the back of the end zone. That is just kickoffs. 78% from 22%, that is a significant jump. And the average starting position is now at the 28-yard line. Last year, it was at the 24-yard line. So teams are incentivized to try to return it. They are getting a little bit better field position, not the most, but to go from 24 to 28 yards, that's a improvement in field position. And we're also seeing more plays and more attempts to try to return the ball and possibility of a big plays. I thought Kansas City was much better special teams-wise in this second game than they were the first game. This is a learning experience for everybody. This is a new rule. You have to see it in real time and see how it plays itself out. That's why I cautioned so many of you last year. I understand the frustration of the rules in the first preseason game against Jacksonville, and I believe that the referees made a mistake. I believe that the officials made the wrong call, and it was a very unique set of circumstances. I think we saw a loophole in the rule that potentially needs to be closed as we move forward, but you're only going to learn those things as you see more and more scenarios and play itself out, and then you tinker with the rules just a little bit. So I think the early returns for the NFL, they have to be happy with the numbers that they have so far. You went from 22% returns to 78% returns, so a 50% jump in returns. The balance of it is not broken. It's not like the average starting field position is the 41-yard line where you feel like you need to do something to give the kicking team a little bit more chance. It seems very, very fair to me. Quinn, I don't know what your stance has been so far on the kickoff rules. I've had the opinion that I want to give it a full month. Let's see what it looks like over the regular season. I still think some teams are playing coy a little bit. I still think some teams are kind of holding some things in a little bit. And we will get a far better picture and understanding of the kickoff rules once we get a month of games. Everybody's got their starters in. Everybody's got the guy who they think's the kick returner in. You're maybe trying to spark a big play. Do we see more reverses? Do we see more trickeration? What is sort of the creativity? I don't think the teams are really showing their hand yet. And I also think we know enough. I don't care about what any system you have. If you have new rules that are implemented, some people are going to figure it out sooner than other people, and they're going to have a significant advantage in the first 2-3 weeks of the season because they understand the kickoff rules, and you can spark that big play. You're down 7 and you need a big play in the kick return. That's when you pull out the end around, you pull out the reverse to try to see if you can score or get the ball at midfield. So I'm still under the pretense that I'm going to give this thing a month. Let's see how it plays itself out. But the early numbers from the NFL, you've got to be really, really happy with what you've seen so far with the kickoff rule.
Yeah, I think the kickoff rule is doing exactly what it was intended to do, and that's to, you know, go the opposite direction of what it had turned into. It had turned into a play where everybody would get off their couch and they would go to the fridge and get another drink, or they'd go to the bathroom, because it didn't matter, especially when you have Harrison Butker kicking off, and because you knew that bad boy was going through the back of the end zone anyways. I expect those numbers to actually drop. I think we're going to see more players try and take the touchback from a receiving standpoint, just because I think at this point every team is incentivized to take it out because you want to see what all of your returners have. So I expect there are going to be a little bit of a drop in those numbers, but I think it has done exactly what you wanted it to do. You've released a lot of those high-impact hits. You've made it to where you're incentivizing an exciting play to come back into the game, because a good return, whether you're scoring on it or not, a good return is one of the most exciting plays in the NFL, and you're bringing it back to the game.
Let me give you one more piece of information from the NFL. So the NFL released a little bit of information today. So the kickoff numbers, that was a major part of it. I mean, they're really trying to sell this thing to you, the fan, about what the kickoff looks like, and it is obviously working. You have seen a much higher rate of return. The other thing that they talked about today, the NFL did, so they had Jeff Miller. He is the VP of player health and safety. A major reason why they are doing this kickoff rule is player safety. He also said that they have seen significant interest from NFL players who want to compete in flag football at the Olympics. We obviously have a long way to go to see if this thing is going to be approved or not. It sounds like players want to do it. Now, is the league going to want to do it? Now, the league that has clearly had much more of a, we want to expand and have an international mission. I can't think of a better place to showcase your international mission than the Olympics. So I certainly get why the players, I want to showcase myself to a different category of people. I'm also not going to be wearing a helmet, so I'll be more visible over the course of this. I certainly get why players want to do it. It's also not physical. It's just running around. It's the same training that we do all the time. This time I could do it on a world stage and play flag football. So we'll certainly see if the NFL is going to allow its players to play in in the Olympics in 2028. I mean, this wouldn't interfere with the NFL training camp. It wouldn't interfere. You're also talking about a small number of players. I mean, it's 7-on-7. So we're talking about, what, 11 players in the NFL at most that you think would possibly play in this thing. But that is certainly something to keep in note, that the NFL is saying that NFL players want to play. Now, I will be curious to know what caliber of NFL player wants to play in this. Are we talking about Patrick Mahomes wants to play in this thing, or Ian Book wants to play in the Olympics? I think the participation at the top of this is really going to determine whether or not the NFL wants to let their players sign up for it, and how it's going to line up with their preseason schedule.
I mean, I think the most exciting player would be what wide receiver is going to be out there, because, you know, that's the playmaker in flag football. It's going to be them. Does it really matter who's playing quarterback? I mean, you've got even your B caliber or even some backup caliber quarterbacks, I think, would be effective at flag football. If Carson Wentz goes out there, I'm sure he's better than what any other nation can throw out there as the quarterback on their flag football team.
Who would be their biggest competition now? I'm trying to think of, like, let's say the NFL says, all right, cool. You know what? We're going to let a handful of guys do this. We're going to, you know, randomly pick 12 players. Hey, these quarterbacks have said they want to sign up, these running backs, these wide receivers. Let's randomly flip it and let's see who we want to compete. Who are they playing in the gold medal game? Because the United States, they are the overwhelming favorite to go out here and try to do it. But this is where I think it could be a lot more difficult than we think. Now, I'm not saying the United States is going to lose in this thing. You take a lot of the skill level out. If this thing turns into, it's like Iron Man both ways, which that's what I'm guessing it is. I don't think you got an offensive side and a defensive side of flag football. No, you seven are playing these seven, and we're doing it over the course of, you know, 30 minutes. I actually think there could be a team that I could kind of get a little bit of wiggle on and could maybe be a little bit competitive. Who is the biggest challenger to the United States in this thing? Is it Canada?
I was thinking,
is it Mexico? Who is it?
I was thinking Canada, but I think Australia would have to be thrown in there.
Yeah.
That's probably another team that I would put in there. Is rugby big in Britain?
Yeah, no, you would have to think. Yeah, one of those countries that have rugby, you would have to think that they would be pretty good. A lot of those skills, if we're not talking about plays and it's just get open, get you the football and make a guy miss, maybe England might be a little better at flag football than we think they could be.
I think those are the teams, whatever has some sort of decent rugby outing, those are going to have to be the countries that you would think. I do think Canada is a good choice just because they do actually have football there.
Yeah, I don't know. So text line 913-586-7610. You guys let me know who you think would be the biggest competitor to the United States if they end up allowing NFL players to do it. I don't know enough about flag football. I don't think I ever watched people play flag football, certainly not on television. It's one thing to be in college and flag football was happening. Another thing to be watching on ESPN2 in July. So I don't think I've ever seen it. I don't know anything about it.
Aren't there, but because of the international player signings, how many players in the NFL will go play for other countries too?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, is there a quarterback that would make sense? It's so hard to know because you just never really think about it in this sense as football being this international game that in something like this, and it's not like you need a 53-man roster. Maybe you couldn't compete against America if we're talking about you got to build out a full football team. You don't need to build out a full football team. You need 10 people that are really fast, and you need one guy that can throw. If you got that, you can compete in flag football. So it will be fun to kind of see as this thing comes together what they allow, what they don't allow. I could see flag football. I could see it being the breakdancing of 2028.
Oh, jeez.
How breakdancing kind of took over. We all were excited to watch it. I can see flag football being that event. I also hope that Major League Baseball signs up. This could be the best Olympics that we have if flag football is done right and they allow Major League Baseball players to play in the Olympics. But we'll obviously see what happens. Let's get back to baseball here for a little bit. So the Royals, they are really in this thing. The Royals are 3 games back behind Cleveland for first place in the American League Central. They are 1 game behind Minnesota for second place in the American League Central and the second wild card spot. They are 3.5 games ahead of the Boston Red Sox for that final wild card spot. There are 38 games to go in the regular season for the Kansas City Royals. So much of baseball is wrapped around the idea that it is a marathon, not a sprint. So much about baseball is tied into there's another game the next day. You can never get too high and never get too low, and I understand that mentality. Man, we are through the middle part of August here. We're talking less than 45 games to go, less than 40 games to go. It is go time. If the Royals are going to strike in this thing, they are going to strike right now. It is right there for the Kansas City Royals to win this division. When you look at who they have this week, you look at who Cleveland has this week. So the Royals, they play the Angels. The Angels are one of the 3 worst teams in the American League. The Guardians have the Yankees, who are the best team in the American League. And then you look at, they got 7 games left against Cleveland from now until the end of the season. You play Minnesota again. I know we've had this conversation about just being excited and enjoying the ride, and, well, I'm not going to be too disappointed if they don't make the playoffs. I've been past that point for a while. I don't know how you can be at that point when we are talking less than 40 games to go and they are 3.5 games up and 3 back of the division. If they can win 2 series, if they can win both series against Cleveland, they got a 3-game set and a 4-game set. If they could win 2 series and simply tread water the rest of the way, the Royals can win the division. Man, if you're already here, let's dance a little bit. Let's go for it. Let's try to win the division, and let's skip the wild card altogether. Right now, the way that it's currently set up, even though they would make the playoffs, they would not have a home game at Kauffman Stadium. If they win the division, they would have a home playoff game at Kauffman Stadium. I know you guys remember the last time they had those. They were kind of fun. Coming up on the other side, it is something that we need to do. I have been ready to do this for quite some time, but some of you have been holding out. I tell you exactly what it is. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.